This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Federal and state legislation has made North Carolina a leader in improving air quality. And researchers have now found evidence that those higher standards are in fact saving lives. Duke University scientists collaborated with the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources to analyze 17 years of state public health data and air monitoring measurements. And their analysis shows that decreases in levels of air contaminants do correlate with reduced rates of deaths from emphysema and asthma. Joining us to talk about the findings in this study is lead researcher Kim Lyerly. Kim's a professor of surgery, pathology, and immunology at Duke. Welcome, Kim. Good to talk with you.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be here.
Tell us about the scope of the study. What were you looking at?
Well, we started the study about 4 or 5 years ago because we have an organization called the Research Triangle Collaborative that brought together leading scientists in the region, and this included members of the EPA, the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, and so forth. And we thought about really trying to take advantage of the massive amount of data that existed about the environment and trying to link that to the health effects of the environmental changes that we knew were occurring. And one of the things that we knew was happening in North Carolina was the leading vision of improving air quality by implementing not only the national regulations, but some state and regional regulations that mandated improved air quality. And we thought by collecting the required improvement in air quality data, we could then map that to the health outcomes.
So tell us about that. You said the state had, in fact, in some cases, higher standards than the federal government?
Well, for one example, there was an enormous amount of interest in the air quality associated with the coal-fired power plants. And the state legislature developed, a bipartisan plan working with the energy industry to reduce emissions from these power plants. And those emission reductions were mandated by law, so we knew that they would be implemented and they would be monitored and we could secure that information. So we were pleased to know that that was going to happen because if we can imagine if you measured air quality for 17 years and it didn't change, it's not quite as interesting as a massive reduction in
air quality. I think we've lost the connection and we'll try to get back, but we're talking about reductions over a 17-year period from 1993 to 2010. That's the period of the study in which, in fact, air quality in the state of North Carolina improved. And health outcomes improved as well. And when we get Kim Lyerly back, who's the lead author of a study, he'll tell us exactly how much things improved and how death rates, in fact, went down. But the study is also released as state lawmakers consider legislation that could have an impact on the state's air quality. We're joined now by Sarah Wheeler. She's a health and science reporter at the News and Observer. Sarah Wheeler, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
So we're going to hear a little bit about this research that showed a pretty serious improvement in health outcomes between 93 and 2010. But at this very moment, in fact, the North Carolina legislature is considering legislation that may have an impact on state air quality. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, that's correct. So right now, there are committee meetings to hear about two different bills. One is Senate Bill 734, and one is the House version of the bill, 1136. So Senate Bill 734 has language in the bill that might change how air quality is monitored in the state. So what they've requested in the bill is that the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, in their report to the EPA, remove any air quality devices that are not required by federal standards. So this will have to be approved by the EPA. And that will change as of, I believe, September 1st. the number of air monitoring devices in the state.
It's interesting because if we get Kim Lyerly back, we'll ask him, of course, this is the kind of data that had been collected over time. So he's got two streams that he and his fellow researchers were working on. One, what were the changes in air quality over the period? And then two, what were the changes in outcome? And that's his comparison. If we get him back, we'll ask him about that. But this would then reduce the amount of information that would be available to Kim and other researchers like him, I guess, if it goes through. But there are two versions, you say, a Senate version that would reduce the monitors. The House version doesn't do that, right?
The House bill does not have language in it to change how air quality is monitored in the state.
All right. Well, Kim Lyerly is back now. Welcome back. It's good to have you here again, Kim. Tell us about the outcomes now, because you talked about the fact that you had all this great data at a time when, in fact, air quality was improving in the state of North Carolina owing to stricter regulations, 93 to 2010. So you want to see if that has any correlation with health outcomes. What'd you find?
Well, we did see a dramatic decrease in the death rates from common respiratory diseases, emphysema, asthma, and pneumonia. And as you can imagine, many people would wonder, well, are there other explanations for that, things that, could occur? And we try to control for that as best we could. Smoking, for example, would be a major determinant in the respiratory health. And we corrected for different smoking rates during that period of time and so forth. And as much as we could, we developed really very high-quality data. One of the challenges we have, of course, is to try to use more granular data and develop more precision in our matching the respiratory conditions with the environmental conditions of the region. And this is why these regional monitors, monitors that are scattered throughout the state are so important. Imagine, if we reported everything as an average for the state. For example, the soccer game between the U.S. and Portugal, if we said the score was 4, that's not as helpful of knowing which region, which team got which goals. And if we know that there are regions that have very high levels of pollutants and we see a very significant increase in the respiratory diseases associated with that region, I think we're going to feel a lot more comfortable. Again, are there alternative ways to garner this information? There are ways, but they are incredibly expensive and time-consuming and very likely never to occur. Our best shot on goal, if you will, is maintaining the high-quality monitoring of health and environmental conditions in the state.
Kim, have you spent any time watching the World Cup this past couple of weeks? Let me just ask you.
I've had some highs and some lows.
Getting back to the research now, you said that you find some significant changes. Can you give us some samples? How have the death rates changed from some of these illnesses?
Well, what we try to do is report things as a rate, so a mortality rate that, per 100,000 in the population and so forth. And what we saw was, again, in the three conditions that we reported on was, for example, a reduction in emphysema death rates from over 12 to nearly 7. Asthma went from 5.5 to below 3. And the pneumonia, the death rate had peaked around 90 and is down nearly 60. So about 30% reduction in the death rate per 100,000 for these, pretty common conditions. And this would lead to pretty dramatic reduction in not only the death, but the cost of the care of those people afflicted by those diseases and so forth. And this is an important aspect of these studies. People have asked me, well, gosh, of course we would expect the air quality to correlate with improved health, but what I think is so important about this is that we were able to actually demonstrate the magnitude of that improvement, and we open up opportunities to really understand what's the actual benefit, not only to a blue sky and perhaps not coughing or having your eyes burned, but what's the economic and human benefit to the cost associated with improving air quality. We know policymakers have some tough decisions to make, but we really love to include these types of data in their discussions and in their deliberations to maybe perhaps find the appropriate balance of investment and high-quality outcomes.
Environmental regulation saves lives. We're talking about it on The State of Things with Kim Lyerly, the lead author of a study that proved how many lives could be saved. Sarah Wheeler's an NNO health and science reporter. Sarah, you did some of the number crunching on cost savings in terms of medical outcomes and what this might save us all with these better outcomes. Tell us what you found.
So I was able to speak with Sheila Holman, the director of the Division of Air Quality at the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. She gave me an idea of how much it costs to keep these devices operating in the state. And what we know is that each device costs about $12,500 a year.
These are the air monitoring device, air quality
yes.
monitoring devices.
So each device measures typically one type of gas. So ozone, nitrogen dioxide, et cetera. And so then there's additional costs to that, such as data management, as well as repairs, quality control. And then we also know that Duke Energy reported the cost to implement the emissions controls. So since Clean Smokestacks Act passed in 2002, Duke Energy invested $2.9 billion into driving down their emissions, and were successful at doing that. And so that averages roughly at about $250 million per year. We can also look at health data. So this is from the Center for Disease Control, that in at least 2011, the U.S. cost of asthma was $56 billion. And in 2003, the cost of asthma in just the state was over $631 million. So this is indirect and direct costs. So what we can do is start to look at some of these numbers and figure out what are the real costs and benefits. And of course, how is this impacting human lives?
I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Sarah Wheeler, health and science reporter for the News and Observer. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Kim Lyerly is a lead researcher on a study about the correlation between air quality and reduced death rates from emphysema and asthma, also a professor in surgery, pathology, and immunology at Duke. Kim Lyerly, thank you so much. Just ahead on The State of Things, the ethical perspective on torture. You'll hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.